farmers pray for precipitation, and they say, in God we trust. Then along comes a drought and dries their crops out and turns their prayers into dust. The next time they need some assistance, they should take the advice of Mark Twain, who said it's better to check the weather report before you pray for rain. Nothing fails like prayer. Nothing fails like prayer. Use your mind and you will find that nothing fails like prayer. You reach the final week of the school year, but you haven't studied your best. So you stay up and cram for the final exam, then pray for God's help on the test. Then you answer the questions with assurance that the Lord will help you sail through. When the results are returned, what have you learned? God's no smarter than you. Nothing fails like prayer. Nothing fails like prayer.
Okay. That's a point of view that hasn't really been heard on KPFT for some years now. I think the last atheist hour was here, what, in maybe 90?
Not 91 or 92.
93. I don't know. I seem to remember it. It was one of my favorite shows. I'm Otis McClay, and this is Open Journal. And today we have with us the Houston Atheist Society, newly formed
right
by Keith McCafferty.
That's right.
And also with us is Gibson Arnold, who is well known in atheist circles. He's the former president of the Atheist Network, and you helped on the Atheist Network.
Yes, I helped to produce that. And one thing I did, you know, one of the contributions I made was looking through the library and finding all the music that gave some kind of atheist perspective that we could use. And there was very little of it. It's like searching a needle for a needle in a haystack. Mm-hmm. So
we don't have a great atheist tradition in this country, at least not that
well. Not one that people know about, and that's one thing that we did on the program and talked about. That we have more of one than people realize.
And also with us is Arthur Fay, who is the director of the Houston Church of Free Thought.
Yes.
I always have to ask the question, if you're an atheist, how come you have a church?
Well, we think that churches have a lot of functions that are very beneficial and worthwhile. We like to say that we are a church and we are people who just believe in one less God than other churches.
So do you ask people to come to church every Sunday? And
we have services once a month on the second Sunday of every month at the Ramada Plaza Hotel, just outside the 610 loop on I-10. Mm-hmm. It begins at 10:30. We are averaging about 50 people showing up every month.
It's pretty good, actually.
And I don't know if you would call them sermons, but we have people who speak. And we play some music and try to do some humor and just trying to get a sense of community. It's been in existence 3 years. There's another one up in Dallas that's been in existence since late 1993, and we're affiliated with them.
Interesting. Of course, today is May 1st, and May 1st is... This is like a universal holiday. I know that this is a Celtic holiday. I know that I can remember I went to school across from a Catholic girls' school, and every May 1st, all the girls would show up in these white dresses, and they would have some kind of an event there.
A maypole, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, the maypole, which is fertility, right?
Yeah,
the fertility
right.
event. And so a lot of these things were co-opted by the Christians. Well, religions co-opt the previous stuff. Mm-hmm. So I guess there's a thing about confirmation or something happens on that right. day, some magic event. And then, of course, May 1st has been pretty much accepted this century, at least, as the Universal Labor Day. This
right.
was the Labor Day everywhere else in the world, except here, where we have our own particular one in September. It's been declared, you said it was declared as a national day of prayer, And that,
yeah, that was
back,
it started back in 1988.
Uh-huh.
And we had a demonstration, back then it was the Houston Chapter of American Atheists. We had a demonstration opposing National Day of Prayer for the first time. And back, that was when we had the Governor Clemens.
Bill Clemens, yeah.
And he had his religious representative, Richard Land, here was... as a representative of the government to come speak for National Day of Prayer, pushing the agenda of this particular religious group that, uh-huh. that pushed this thing. And they've been doing it ever since. And we, most of the years we've had a demonstration against that, we would have maybe a dozen people out there against their 300 or 400 people. But in the first early years, we actually, the first year they brought a bunch of children there, you know, they loaded up school children, buses of school children, religious school children. And the second year, because the atheists had been there, they didn't have the school children anymore. It's like, so we had some effect. We pointed out the separation of church and state, mm-hmm. the problem that this involves when you have the government actively promoting a particular God belief in a country where you have diversity is supposed to be the important thing here in our country. And so we did that for a number of years, and it just... We had a little bit of effect, but it didn't...
We're getting some kind of a weird tone here. I'm not sure what it is. But the chief engineer is here, so we'll find out, and actually it's not preventing us.
This
came unplugged, that's the alarm.
The fact
is
that
okay.
The fact that the National Day of Prayer... is the same
day
as...
I was going to mention that you guys declared this a National Day of Reason.
Right. The American Humanist Association did, and this is the first annual National Day of Reason. And it's just a coincidence that this year they both fall on May Day.
Okay.
This year is just a coincidence.
Yeah, it's the first Thursday of each May. Atheists and freethinkers have been, over the years, having more... special days in reaction to the religious special days. Like, we have Free Thought Week in October, and we have Darwin Day on Darwin's birthday. And we celebrated the solstice and the equinoxes and so forth. So this is part of our tradition, you see, mm-hmm. as we develop our sense of community.
Right.
We're finding that we really need a sense of community among us in order for us to get the numbers of people out, in order to have political clout enough to get representation some of these days, days maybe.
Right. Well, this has always been a problem with atheists. Yeah, Arthur.
And oftentimes in the past, atheists have either been perceived correctly or incorrectly with a very negative attitude, and sometimes atheism was perceived as what we might be against and not what we're for. And I think there's been some changes over the recent years where we're beginning to realize that we have an awful lot to offer that's very positive, and that's kind of why we're so interested and excited about this particular day, this Day of Reason.
Right. Because
reason is the foundation of atheism, free thinking, humanists, whatever particular branch or label you want to call yourself.
Right. And Arthur is, in addition to being a director of the Houston Church of Freethought, he's treasurer of the Houston Atheist Society. We had our first meeting only 6 weeks ago, six or seven.
Well, now, there was an Atheist Society before.
It's been about 10 years.
Yeah.
We founded this specifically to affiliate with American Atheists and with the Atheist Alliance International. I started this last year because no one else was doing it. I attended the Godless Americans March on Washington last November, which was orchestrated by the American Atheists along with a number of other atheists and humanist organizations. There were 2,500 godless Americans
From all over the...
From all over the country.
The country.
In front of the Capitol in Washington last November. It was the first time any group of that size had ever gotten together, and it was really something. And I learned as I looked around that there were no affiliate organizations in Houston, so I told them, I'll do it. I'll do it.
What would be a really interesting issue? How about government
we're
involvement
concerned about,
in religion?
Yes, we're very concerned about the extent to which our government has been pushing the religion button. We know through history how this has all been a problem before, and how important it is to oppose the mixture of religion and government. The founding of our country, the Bill of Rights, was written to separate, in Thomas Jefferson's words, build a wall of separation between church and state. And that is the reason why we have been as free as we have been in this country. And yet you have very wealthy, very powerful political organizations that are pushing the agenda that it's always been a Christian nation, that somehow the founding of our country was on Christian principles, when actually it was on human principles. It was on freedom of speech, not freedom to be just a Christian or freedom to be just a God believer.
Well, in the original 13 colonies, or the original, when we were still a colony,
you had the blue laws.
Every state seemed to have its own religion. Like Maryland was the Catholic
yes.
state,
right.
And Rhode Island was the free state. It was
right.
founded by Roger Williams to
right.
be completely free religiously. Massachusetts represented the particular
right.
strain of
right.
Of
and Pennsylvania got pretty good later on. You see,
right? Pennsylvania was William Penn.
That's
yeah,
one
right.
of the reasons why they had to write freedom of religion into the Constitution and separate religion and state, because each colony wanted its own religion.
Mm-hmm.
If they had to compromise on that, they had to recognize that they each had their own freedom to have their own religion. Otherwise, they wouldn't be able to agree on how to run the government.
And James Madison expressed it very well in his remonstrance against religious
well-known
assessment.
Theist.
He said, if we establish Christianity as the religion, then at some point in time we had got to decide which form of Christianity it is that we've
right.
established. And so you're going to have the Catholics and the Protestants against each other. And so to keep the peace, separation.
And I think there's a mistake in thinking on part of people who are in favor of public displays of religion, and that is that people like us are trying to prevent them in any way from practicing their religion. That's just not so. What we're trying to prevent is forcing all the rest of us to listen to a prayer or whatever particular involvement that's being advocated.
Yeah, I remember the issue in Santa Fe a few years ago, that one of the issues that was raised was, I think it was brought, the suit was brought by people who were of another religion or something. I can't remember whether it was Jewish, but one of the issues that's raised is, you get up and you do, some Christian prayer, and why should Jewish people or Muslim people or Buddhists or
I think
Taoists
they were just people who understood separation between church and state. I don't remember. It may have been Jehovah's Witnesses, because Jehovah's Witnesses been pro separation between church
uh-huh.
and state. That's one issue that they deal with.
Uh-huh.
And they have.
So it's a religious group that
right.
wants to keep your hands off my belief.
Right. It's worth understanding that up until about 20-25 years ago, every organized church, really, at the national level, had a policy of supporting separation of church and state, especially the Baptists. The Baptists were very much...
Well, they originally split off from the
right.
Church of England because
right.
they wanted
right.
independent control
right.
of their own churches.
Rhode Island, as you mentioned before, was founded by Baptists and was the first real experiment in the New World in true freedom of religion.
Right. The first synagogue was
right. It wasn't until the Reagan-Bush administration came along and put a lot of money into the Southern Baptist Convention.
Well, there's been more prior to that, the Scopes trial and everything else. It's been a struggle all over the years, but the pendulum has swung different directions over the years, and it's something like Jefferson said, freedom, is eternal vigilance, required for that. And we atheists, I feel, have not been as vigilant as they ought to be.
Right.
The vast majority of atheists never tell anybody else that they don't believe. And a lot of them say that, well, I'm just going to ignore what religion's doing. I don't like it. I'm just going to ignore it. Well, you're having to ignore too much of life.
Right.
When religion has dug its tentacles into everything, everything has religion tied to it somehow, mm-hmm. and it's not healthy to ignore that much of life. We need to become a part of it.
So how would you kind of sum up what it is you want people to get here about this conversation?
People need,
what we want to do is open up the phones.
Right. People need to understand
the number.
People need to understand the necessity of separation of church and state,
and the necessity to do something in order to make that come about.
Right.
Do you have people from? In the Godless March or in this issue of church and state? Do you have people in who are connected with religion supporting this?
Tonight at the here at KPFT in the backyard, we're going to have a series of speakers to celebrate and commemorate the first annual National Day of Reason. And we do have Gibson Arnold, Arthur Fay, and myself will be speaking, and we'll also have a speaker by the name of Reverend Ken Ramsey, who is with the Association of Baptists.
Mm-hmm.
We'll also have a former president of the Americans for United for Separation of Church and State, Charlotte Kaufelt, who is a Methodist. We will also have Ross Henry, who is with the Montgomery County Humanist Association. And I believe we'll also have Gary Yoki, who is with the Unitarian Church.
Oh, okay.
Isn't Gary Yoki with the...
Well, he's a member.
Okay. That'll be tonight at 7 o'clock here at KPFT.
Our number is 713-526-5738. If you have questions or comments for... are you all members here of the Houston Atheist Society?
Arthur and I are. We only just met Gibson.
It just fell into my lap a few days ago. So
Gibson Arnold, Keith McCafferty, and Arthur Fay, who are here. And what we're talking about really is the separation of church and state.
Right.
It's okay with you guys if other people believe in God, I assume.
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
You're not proselytizing for atheism.
we want to tie the hands of government and get government out of a business that it doesn't need to be in.
You want to see that the government makes no laws respecting
an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. It's a two-sided thing. You got to have both of them.
You realize that the Ten Commandments, which so many people want to get into all the courthouses and the schools and everything, the Ten Commandments abolish freedom of religion. The First Commandment absolutely abolishes freedom of religion. So it's problematic. It really is.
We're also concerned about the way the governments have used religion to get us to do things that we otherwise would not do. Like Hitler, for instance, used Christianity. He could not have convinced the German people to do what they did if he had not used an ideology that already had manipulation control of the people's minds. He used Christianity to do that. Mm-hmm. Osama bin Laden used Islam to convince the terrorists to do what they did.
Mm-hmm.
And George W. Bush, just at this war that is still going on, despite the fact that he said it's over. has been really pushing the religion button on this.
One quick thought,
Arthur,
that someone might get something out of. 9/11, I think, I don't know who said it, I think is a perfect example of a faith-based initiative.
You mean how about the response to it?
No,
or do you mean
no,
the
act itself.
Attack?
The act itself. And, of course, now the big concern in Iraq, I think, is the establishment of a theocracy. The Shiites are very much trying to have a theocracy. Mm-hmm. And I think anybody familiar with history understands theocracies can be very, very bad. And we don't need to be...
Religionists, yeah.
We don't have to be headed in that direction.
713-526-5738 is our number, and let's go to Randall. Randall, you there? Stacy, are we doing phones? You there, Randall? Hey, okay.
You're good. Greetings, gentlemen.
How are you?
Well, I'm just recovering from a throat infection and still looking for work, so I've been unemployed over a year in this wonderful land of ours, so powerful and free. And I can go on and on with the nonsense propaganda of the rich and powerful telling us, and those who do want to convert us to a theocracy. But yeah, because, you know, they're envious. Gee, look at all those other countries. Gee, God, their religion rules everything.
Well, there was the bumper sticker that said, if you want God to run the country, move to Iran.
Right. Yeah. One nation under God.
I think there was a variation of that where it had God moving from Iran to the United States.
Yeah, I should admit my bias that I'm in favor of separation of church and state.
Oh, so am I. So. Even though you would find the Christians at various points saying, well, it's not in that terminology. It was never said.
Do you have any kind of particular question, Randall?
Oh, well,
I have a lot to say.
I know. It's... warmly nostalgic, actually, because in that sea of growing Nordic Christianity, as I call it, which really it is, really. If you look, you know, Odin and Jehovah, which is, you know, a Hebrew thunder god.
Thor, I believe, is the one who threw the hammer.
Yeah, right. Yeah, but it was Odin or Woden who threw the thunderbolts.
Mm.
Mind you, and he, you know, he was a big old man with a white beard, and
right.
Who, you better be careful when you looked at him. Might turn to stone, but I guess is I'm certainly glad that there is an atheist organization here. I really wondered because you know the atheist show was one of the first things cut along with the Native American shows,
mm-hmm.
as I remember back in I think it was 95,
right?
And I wasn't surprised either. So I guess I just I'm poor and getting poorer, and it's a hard way to be able to help you guys and. be around people, so I guess the best thing I could do is to go to that Ramada Inn on 290 and 610 on the second Sunday.
610 and I-10.
Oh, 610 and
it's
I-10.
It's on I-10 just outside the... I know
right.
Where it is.
That's the Houston Church of Free Thought.
And that's the second Sunday?
Second
right.
Sunday.
Right.
What time?
10:30.
In this case, it'll be Mother's Day.
Yes.
The website of Church of Free Thought is...
hcof.org.
Right.
And unfortunately, the libraries are still open.
Yes.
hcof.org.
Their hours are being
right.
cut.
F like in Frank, Houston Church of Free Thought.
Yeah.
The website of Houston Atheist Society is www.godlesshouston.com.
Oh, that's easy to remember.
Right.
That's a great one.
That's why I chose it.
Randall, thank you.
Yeah, okay.
Thank you, Randall.
Get you later. Nice to have you back.
I wish he did have money.
And we're with the number is 713-526-5738. We're talking with three atheists, Gibson Arnold, Keith McCafferty, and Arthur Fay, and the lines are open. And Syed, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, how are you gentlemen?
Fine, thank you.
Fine.
First of all, I do want to appreciate the fact that you're making a particular point that it is a question of what the Constitution says. And it's not an ideological issue
right.
as individuals that you're saying, you know, as your host said, you're not proselytizing. Perhaps you guessed by my name. I'm not an atheist. I'm a Muslim. But I do appreciate the irony.
We make no assumptions, Syed.
Okay. Well, I thought perhaps. I apologize. But I do appreciate the fact that people sometimes, ironically, don't realize that if you live in this country... which explicitly has made that demarcation, then the people who want to take things the other direction are actually groundless as far as the actual Constitution goes, and that's been my understanding.
What do you mean, take it the other direction? I'm not sure what you mean.
As far as implementing some type of trying to meld religion and government and so on.
Well, as a Muslim in the United States these days, how do you feel? How you doing?
I have no complaint. My frustration factor is through the roof. That's a different story.
Yeah. But that's kind of what I'm asking.
Oh, yeah, I'm extremely frustrated. I haven't had anyone directly, you know, accost me on the street or anything like that. But I think it's the blindness, and sometimes even, I want to say naivete, but that's almost too gentle, of people who are seeing one picture, who are told what to believe and swallow it wholesale. And this is the second time around. I'm referring to the present conflict, and the first one never was about quote unquote naked aggression. I mean, you really had to be someone completely unaware of what's going on the planet, or had no sense of history to think that was the case. And yet, people bought it wholesale, and they're doing it again, mm-hmm. and they're doing it completely
right.
again.
Right.
So, if nothing else, I mean, I may disagree with you on the most fundamental. But I do appreciate the fact that, look, in this country, if someone walked up to me and said, well, what do you think about setting up an Islamic government in the United States? I'll say, well, guess what? That's completely contrary to the Constitution. Then it would not be the United States. If that's what you want, you need to go elsewhere.
So your vote would be for separation of church and state?
Absolutely. Okay. Not because I don't think that there is much to be gained from my particular faith, what have you. But once you open that door, again, like you guys have brought up, well, where do you draw the line? If this country was set up, supposedly, with that in mind, then listen, it's open for everyone, and it's set up in such a way where everyone is free to practice but does not have to practice.
Right.
Then you need to either do that, or you need to wrap the whole thing up and throw it away and say, okay, we're going to create what everybody wants.
Mm-hmm.
And
or what
you know,
a group of people want. Yeah. Yeah.
Correct. And I think that's true. I've seen that conflict, actually, in a lot of organizations where you have, on the one hand, those who quote-unquote founded it, had one idea, and those who are actually now dealing with living with those ideals may want to do something different. Well, you decide. Do you want to stay true to what was originally there? Do you want to modify it to suit the present condition, or do you want to completely abandon it?
Okay, I'm going to move on.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Syed.
Thank you.
Cool call. And 713-526-5738 is our number. We're talking with Gibson Arnold, Keith McCafferty, and Arthur Fay, more or less of the Houston Atheist Society. And Carlos, hi.
Hi. I was just curious to, and this may be a little personal, but what your guest, or the atheist guest, what is the background? Were your parents religious at all? Or?
Yeah. Interesting question. We'll go down the line. Keith.
I did not grow up in a religious household. My father was an ordained minister. He was non-denominational. But his career was, he was a fundraiser for overseas missions organizations, for overseas hospitals. He raised money and gathered equipment for hospitals in Zaire and Haiti and South Korea and Mexico. And he did a lot of traveling with that as well. And he was very good at it. He wrote excellent sermons. But religion was not something that we lived with in our homes, really. Looking back on my life, I've always been an atheist. I've never been a believer. But it was only last year that I started using the word, I feel that I was really pushed into it, specifically by George W. Bush.
Interesting, Arthur.
I'm 60 years old, and I was raised in the Methodist Church. I was a believer in the divinity of Christ and all that, probably well into my teenage years. By my early 20s, which I guess is over 35 years ago, I became an atheist. It was a very relatively rapid change.
Anything particular that precipitated?
Well, I think the most influential writings that I read was Ayn Rand. And I also am from Buffalo, New York, so I am very familiar with the humanist movement up there with Paul Kurtz, and I read some stuff during the 60s, I guess, early 60s, and I've been an atheist ever since.
Interesting. Gibson.
Okay, well, I was raised in a very religious family, taking to church every Sunday.
What kind
of
church?
In the church choir, Methodist.
Methodist.
A local. And, you know,
Boy Scouts? Were you in Boy Scouts?
Boy Scouts, Eagle Scout, okay. All the way. and did all that stuff. And all along the way, I questioned, but there was times in which I gave religion the benefit of the doubt. But as I examined it more and more, I became less and less of a believer. But it wasn't until I heard other atheists speaking out. I actually heard the radio program here on KPFT, Howard Kreisner, doing the radio program, Atheist Hour. And that was about 1982, 83, somewhere around in there when I heard it for the first
time. It was a really popular show, too. It was one of the ones that I always listened to.
And so that helped me to understand that there were people out there like me and that it was okay. You see, you could could say that you're an atheist and you wouldn't get shot by lightning. Right. The earth wouldn't swallow you whole and all that sort of thing. So I got actively involved and been pretty much active ever since. That's been about 20 years now.
That's one of the...
Well, I was just to say, Carlos, does that answer your question?
Yeah, that really did. I mean, I wondered... Because you went from one aspect to, one thing to another. One person was totally never believed in it, and one was church choir and went to it every Sunday.
Yeah.
So yeah, we've had in the various atheist groups, we've had people who were Muslims, people who were Hindu, people who were of every variety of religious belief and every intensity, you see, from all walks of life.
Right.
Well, thanks a lot, guys.
Thanks, Carlos. 713-526-5738 is the number. And we go to Bill. Hi, Bill.
Hi. Would you guys be offended by a divergent Christian view?
Yeah. No, of course not. But lay it on them.
Go ahead, Bill.
Well, I was raised an atheist and became a Christian at the age of 21. And I will say this, Jesus Christ that I know and that I know lives in the New Testament is not the Jesus Christ of these so-called Christians that are running the conservative coalitions and running the Republican Party. These people are not Christians. They do not represent true Christianity. They represent an amalgam of fundamentalist beliefs, both Christian and Judaic. And I have no regard for anything they have to say. I have no respect for their infringement upon our civil liberties, and I'm very offended by the fact that they call themselves Christians.
I have a question for you, if I might.
Yes.
Does it matter to you whether Jesus is divine or not?
Does it matter to me?
Yeah. Is that an issue in terms of the teachings?
Well, If you look at the words of Christ, I think he definitely gives you that impression from what he said.
Hmm. Okay.
But
I'm just
as
curious.
I was saying, if you look at what calls itself Christianity in America, it's an amalgam of capitalism, fundamentalism, and probably to some extent hedonism, all rolled into one, and they call it Christianity. Christianity is founded on loving your fellow man, and I don't see that in the current society that we live in, and I don't know how we can call ourselves a Christian nation and practice the things that we practice.
I like the way he put that.
I hope there's a whole lot more like you.
Well, more liberal, open-minded, you know, Christians would speak out more against the pushy ones, it would be easier for us all.
Yeah.
I would take issue. I would disagree with a lot of what you said there. I could point to
that's on the basis
things in
of
the
atheism
Bible, but that's not what we're talking about today.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
we're talking about, you know, state church separation, the right to think differently. And so, yeah, you definitely, we should all have the right to have our own ideas and to disagree, and not let the pushy ones rule by default.
Can I throw one more thing in there?
Sure.
For those who think that they're doing the right thing in their Christian belief, the words of Jesus, my kingdom is not of this earth. If it were, my disciples would take up weapons and fight. So in other words,
it's interesting that they left it in.
He clearly stated that our goal was not to take over the earth and to take over the government. That's clear in Scripture. And whether you're atheist, Muslim, or whatever, my prerogative as a Christian, my directive as a Christian is to love you, regardless of whether you're an atheist, homosexual, Muslim, whatever you are.
Or an enemy.
My job is to demonstrate the love of Jesus to you, and that's it. That's the end of my duty.
Well,
thanks,
thank you, Bill.
That's great.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
I want to point out
713-526-5738 is our number, Keith.
I want to point out that we didn't come here, like Gibson was saying, to start quoting the Bible, but really for any quote that anyone finds in the Bible, you can also find one that contradicts it.
It's a big book.
Yeah.
And Andy's with us, and I want to put a special call out. Are any women listening? We just never hear from women, and I have a problem with that.
Do you need a date, Otis?
Stacy has to call in. Hi, Andy. You're on the air with Gibson Arnold, Arthur Fay, and Keith McCafferty.
I had a question for, I think it was, I may be wrong, I just jumped in about 5-10 minutes ago. I think it was the first gentleman when you guys were introducing your backgrounds, it might have been Keith, who said that specifically George Bush was a person
right.
who kind of pushed you down the road to atheism.
Right.
I'm kind of curious about that, and I'll ask the question once you guys talk. Just from my personal opinion about religion, I mean, you know, my feeling has always been that, you know, yes, you're subjected to exterior environmental factors that may change, you know, whether you become religious or atheist or, you know, whatever denomination.
It's a personal choice, though, ultimately.
Right, but yeah, I just like some explanation of that comment.
Okay.
Anyway, go ahead.
Well, George W. Bush did not push me into atheism. I've always been an atheist. I just never used the word and said it out loud to describe myself until last year. And really,
was this that you had realized you'd always been an atheist and you just hadn't defined it, or
right? I never felt any need to stand up and protect myself from something. You know, George W. Bush and John Ashcroft and Donald Rumsfeld have made it clear what their agenda is, and they just pound the God and the Jesus, and they just pound away at it and pound away at it, and it created just very negative feelings of fear in me. I've never felt fear from my own government before. I'm an American. I grew up here in Texas, here in America. I, you know, go where I want to go, do what I want to do, say what I want to say. But now we've got a president who wants to pass laws by which he and the attorney general can make people they don't like just disappear. It's called the Patriot Act, and they want to pass the Patriot Act too, the Domestic Security Enhancement Act. And we know from the previous Bush administration, back in the late 80s, early 90s, that George Bush Sr. considers atheists to be non-citizens already. So my knees are knocking together. I don't think it's an unrealistic fear at all to think that some morning I could wake up and turn on the news and hear people saying that atheists are now illegal.
When I got started back in 83 or so, it was Ronald Reagan and Jerry Falwell.
Right.
See, and I've talked to a lot of atheists over the years, and it's amazing how many of them will say that it's somebody like, you know, Billy Graham, Jerry Falwell, Pat Robertson, who convinced them to become an active atheist, as opposed to, you know, Madeleine Murray O'Hara or you know, you know, he said Ayn Rand, you know, the Bertrand Russell, whoever like that. It's the people who scare us,
right?
Who get us, you know, to get it up off our rear ends and get involved and get active,
right?
Well, I just find it kind of interesting that, and I'm just kind of thinking as I go here. Okay, you've got individuals like George Bush and John Ashcroft who, you know, claim to have a political agenda that, and also there seems to be a similar quasi-semi-religious agenda. My question is, do you not see that there is, say, an alternate religious movement? I mean, for instance, I'm Episcopalian,
mm-hmm.
Which I always sometimes jokingly call Catholic light.
We got about 30 more seconds because I've got the board has lit up, Carlos.
Oh, I'm sure it has. I'm Episcopalian, and at least in the church that I was raised, it was a lot more, I guess you could call it left, or a lot more liberal than, say, other denominations. So anyway, that tends, you know, this...
Well, don't hide your candle under a bushel.
Yeah, well...
Really.
Right.
That's kind of it.
What's the question? I'm not sure I understand.
No, it's all right. I really need to move on.
Okay. Yeah.
Carlos, I got to move on. Thanks.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's a great question, though, to look at what is the, you know, the beginnings of atheism here. And Jennifer, hi. You responded to my request.
Hi, how are you?
That's fine.
Hello.
You're on.
Yes, you're on.
Hi. Well, I just wanted to call in, let you know I really appreciate having Pacifica Radio and your program. Someone just talked to me the other day about going to church. I said, no, I'm not going to go to church. And they said, well, you know, I have a daughter. We're going through a custody battle. They said, well, you know, I think it would be good. You know, I said, well, you know, I'd like something to go to, but, you know, not a church, you know, some kind of moral training. But, you know, I don't believe in this Jesus stuff.
Well,
you know, and
come join us.
I'd love to. And I just wanted to call and let you know that I really appreciate it. And I'm sitting here. I'm in the military, and I'm.
Oh,
I take a lot of chiding for listening to Pacific Radio.
There's an organization you need to know about. It's called the Military Association of Atheists and Freethinkers, the MAAF. They are a very small organization that's only just gotten started. They are closely associated with American Atheists and with Atheist Alliance. Are they? Do you know?
I don't.
But
I don't know.
But it's a very exciting thing for them. You should try to look them up. There's a link to them on our website at godlesshouston.com. We have a links page. I have them listed under the title Atheists in Foxholes. So go look for that.
Good. Yeah, I was. We're getting ready to ship out to Bosnia, and our dog tags. I said, "What religion are you?" So, well,
that's
know, and they have a list that you can choose from. I said, "Well, not any of those."
Well, you can actually get atheist now. That there have been
that was a while ago that you can.
Yeah.
Do that.
They might not tell you that, but you can. It's been done. There's legal precedent. So.
Okay.
And
they have to find an atheist chaplain when you get here.
Right.
Jennifer, good luck in Bosnia.
Thank you so much.
Keep
your
eyes open and let us know, you know. Be our dare I say, a mole. Thanks, Jennifer. And
thanks
for your work. And let's go to Nick. Hi, Nick.
Hi, how you doing?
Okay. Good. And I want to say that right now, if anyone else calls, we probably will not be able to put you on the air. I'm going to try to get to all these calls because Rick and Rick have been waiting. And anyway, go ahead, Nick.
Wow, I've never been put through before. I've been, this is my first time.
Would you like me to cut you off, make you feel better?
No, I'm a big supporter of KPFT. Now, about the Jesus thing and everything, a lot of people, this nation is being led by a lot of corrupt people right now, a lot of rich, twisted, evil people. And Jesus said it is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle and for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you look at what Jesus is, it is not, what he taught is the exact opposite of what this nation is being led by right now. And so for these people to be going and claiming Jesus, and to be claiming that they're doing the, you know, work of God, is just totally, it's wrong. It's just not what Jesus was all about at all. And, no, that's pretty much all I had to say.
Okay.
These people are misrepresenting God, and I respect Jesus told everyone to love one another, like that last caller said.
And that's actually consistent with just about every religion.
Yeah, absolutely.
The golden rule exists in every religion.
I had one comment on, I don't know who said that the Bible contradicts itself when it says something. Who said that?
That was me.
Okay. I just wanted
Keith,
to comment on that. I wanted to comment on that one statement. In the Bible, in the New Testament, Jesus criticizes the laws of men, which is pretty much the Old Testament. Everything he criticizes all of that, those, all the Old Testament and all the Bible really is documentation of man throughout, you know, the history of the world. In Numbers, God even said to people, why do you need a government? Why can't you just live under the natural laws that I've put forth on this earth?
Right.
People really need to study the Bible.
In other words, a theocracy.
What's that?
He said, why do you need government? Why don't you just live by the rules that I gave you? In other words, a theocracy.
I'm sorry, I got to move on just because.
Okay,
I
well, last thing, Jesus criticized the laws of man. That's all pretty much he did. He criticized the laws of man. He said, love one another, thou shalt not judge. If people live by those laws, they'll truly understand what Jesus was about.
Thank you.
Thank you, Nick.
Thanks. Any.
I do want to reiterate again that the quote he had, the quote he was using, Jesus does contradict that quote just a few verses later.
I came not to oppose the law, but to
one jot or tittle of the law has changed.
Right, yeah. Right.
And then he says sword. There are a lot of things.
He does say it'll be harder for a rich man to get into heaven than it would be for a camel to pass through an eye of a needle. But a few verses later, he says, "He who has will be given more, and he who has not will have taken from him what little he has left." Mm-hmm.
I never understood that one.
Yeah.
Anyway, Rick, hi. You just got a couple minutes.
Hello.
Yeah.
Am I on?
Yeah.
Okay. I have a question. A couple of times your guest mentioned the phrase morality.
Did we?
The term morality, I think he said.
Uh-huh. Well,
right.
Somebody said it.
Yeah, right. My question is, as atheists, what are your standards? What do you base your standards of morality on? Or do you have any? It's just a question.
Well, it's our own human experience. We're human beings. Sure.
Which is, all humans have different experiences.
Right, that's right. And basically what it comes down to is you have to treat other people like human beings. The way you want to be treated.
Is it like to each his own type thing?
Without hurting other people, yes.
Right.
What makes sense is also a part of it. We think about it, we talk about it, we exchange ideas, we read all the books out there, not just the Bible. Read all the books that purport to give us an ethic or a moral, and then we choose the bits and pieces that make sense that work.
Well, you have a lot of people. See, the problem with atheism at times is that you don't have an anchor on something. For example, you could have an atheist, for example, that in his mind believes that, abusing a child is not immoral.
Just like you can have a religious person who does
Exactly.
Yeah,
but you can still go back to a written code that says that you should not do these things, wrong.
Like the Code of Hammurabi, for instance.
Yeah, the Babylonian...
I got to move on, but I want to ask you one question.
Go ahead.
Do you believe that morality could exist without religion?
Let me ask... I'll answer it like this by saying, I believe religion is the bane of humanity.
Okay.
Okay?
we were wondering where you were going.
No, I'm going to tell you how I feel about religion.
Real quick, because I've got to go on.
Religion has caused the most...
5 minutes.
Religion has caused, no matter what religion you're talking about, has been the culprit behind the distress, the oppression, the downfall of the human condition. And it's because of humans who have misused religion.
I was going to say, could we say the misuse of religion?
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Because
when you see Christians murdering Christians in wars, when you see Muslims killing Muslims, Hindus killing, the killing is endless.
Yeah.
Right. And it's always justified in the name of some of their God.
Okay, Rick, that's a good thing to end on. I'm going to move on.
Yeah.
Thank you. I've got so many calls. Go ahead.
I do want to say, Otis, you were saying, you were clarifying what he was saying as
was a question.
As being the misuse of religion rather than religion itself, which gets to the point that religion is a human product.
Yes. I would have to say that in my estimation, the Bible's a political document, and that'll probably start some other stuff. But there's a lot of proof of that.
The Bible.
We got another Rick. Okay. I want to get through the calls.
Okay.
Rick, the other Rick.
Yeah,
you got about 30 seconds.
Right, I'll try and rapidly. First of all, the largest atheist country in the world I'm aware of is China. I just wanted to bring that out. I mean, yeah, there's Taoism and such like that, but in its essence, it's an atheist nation. It's lived for, it's survived and thrived for 6,000 years.
Press on.
Right, and I wanted to correct some information from earlier in the broadcast. The goings on in Santa Fe, the suits are actually initiated by a Catholic family.
Okay. I thought it was somebody who was not.
They were Catholics. They were not Jews. No.
Right of the
no.
of that religion.
No, not okay. Jewish or Jehovah Witness. Okay, bye.
Thanks,
right,
Rick.
Thank you.
I'm glad
he answered that. I'm glad he addressed that. I was wondering about that myself.
But the thing about the suit that was interesting was that it was brought by people who were religious,
right.
Saying you're.
But as Catholics, they were probably minorities.
Marginalized.
Right.
Yeah. And so, Mark, hi.
Hi. How you doing? I just thought I'd like to say that the biggest problem I find with anyone's world views is the fact that nobody's willing to really question their own enough,
right.
Whether they're a religious person or an a-religious person.
Right.
And what these questions of religion and eternity almost in many people's minds are so large. How can we just accept something that's handed down to us from a cleric or a priest from somewhere? If you're not doing your own looking and your own searching, then it can't be very important a topic to you at all anyway.
That's a very good point. I like the way you put that.
I've read a little bit of a book here that I wouldn't mind quoting if you'd allow.
Okay, I can't because
right.
We're actually completely out of time.
Well,
I've got two more calls.
I paraphrased it already.
Okay, thanks.
Thank
I want to see if I can grab these other two because I've got about 30 seconds. Go ahead, Casey.
Oh, yeah. I'll be real quick.
Yeah, you're about 10
Neither
seconds.
Neither a believer nor an unbeliever. I'm undeclared.
Cool.
One of my favorite sayings is that the best sermon I ever heard in my life was preached by Madeleine Murray O'Hare. She was talking about what is wrong in our society and what needs to be done about it.
Yeah, and that's
and
what
she
I...
was right on the... knows.
And that's right. What Isaiah talked about and Jeremiah talked about.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It was all there about the widows and the orphans.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I'll let you go.
Thanks, Casey. And Ashley, you're the last caller. You got about 10 seconds.
Well, we got a lot of women responding.
About this and this radio station and advocating atheism is a really good thing. But I think the important thing is
we're
that
informing you. We're not advocating it.
of us are.
Maybe they're advocating.
My opinion. The important thing is that I think that we as a community should focus on getting together and having goals, because even though religion is based in morality, I'm seeing through this radio show that obviously atheism too, and so we probably have specific goals like environmentalist goals and
right.
human
okay.
rights.
Ashley?
And that needs to be advocated, yes.
Thank you. We got to end, and we've been talking with the atheists here, with Gibson Arnold. Say goodbye, Gibson.
Goodbye,
Gibson. And with Arthur Fay.
Thanks for having us.
And Arthur Fay is the director of the Houston Church of Free Thought, which meets every...
second Sunday of the month, 10:30 at the Ramada Hilton on I-10 outside of 610.
Right. And Keith McCafferty.
President of Houston Atheist Society, www.godlesshouston.com, 7 o'clock tonight at KPFT.
Okay, and I'm Odie McClay, and we're going to go to the BBC. This is KPFT Houston.